That better?
Is that any better back there?
Better?
Okay, loud, Sammy.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord God, and we just pray over Pastor Don, Lord God, as he gives forth the word. We just pray that it cuts deeper than a two-edged sword, Father God, that your word will sink into our hearts, Lord, that we will take this as a tool to reach out to the lost, Father God. We thank you for the place that you've placed this church, and we just pray that we use this, Lord, for your glory and to advance the kingdom right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Okay. Just a quick review. Last week we saw that little video on Independence Day. If you remember, the alien had that guy by the neck, strangling him, and we talked, you know, how do we defeat an alien worldview? When I speak of alien worldview, that just means a different worldview than Christianity, okay? And we talked about being properly armed. We said that was the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God. I was sharing with Bob as I was down in Texas, we were having lunch, and a young man that worked in the restaurant came in, and he had his Bible, and he's, bless you. And first thing he told me when I sat down, he says, well, I knew you were going to order that. I go, no, you didn't. And he kind of looked. He goes, oh, I'm prophetic. I said, well, you're prophetically wrong, because I wasn't going to order that. So I started messing with him, couldn't find out he was a Christian and blah, blah, blah. But he had all this thought, biblical knowledge. I asked him, first thing, where do you go to church? I don't. But God speaks to me to go into these churches and prophesy to people. I said, well, there's something wrong with the picture. So he was properly armed. Unfortunately, he wasn't properly trained. Okay, didn't know how to come about, didn't use the giftings. Probably had a prophetic gift, but it was all out of whack. Every voice that he heard. So was he really doing much good for the kingdom? No, probably more destruction than anything good. But we talk about you have to be properly trained, properly motivated, the Holy Spirit, and be willing and able to act when the opportunity presents itself. Bob will share a little bit downstairs today. He told you a story about being in the hospital, having his coffee, two sips, boom, they're wheeling a guy in. Next thing you know, he's praying for the guy and blah, blah. There's a part two to the story.
Yes, yes.
All right, which is good. But you got to be willing and able to act when God calls you to act. All right? As opposed to Kenny's wife, who God had a kick in the fanny about 20 times to get over there to pray for the lady on the gurney. I mean, like the ladies, you know, like coming by, knocking, could you put, you know, on Debbie's? Well, her husband is. And you notice he didn't jump up and defend because what I'm saying is the absolute truth. Yeah, so anyway, she was in the hospital, and that's the way it is. There are times we just don't want to be bothered. Okay, and that's what, same thing happened to me with this young guy. I wanted to have lunch. I didn't want to sit down and talk to this guy for an hour and a half. Well, Laura and Renee got up and they went off shopping and, you know, they leave me there. And so an hour later, I'm done with the guy and, you know, moving on. All right? All right, week four, knowing how our enemy thinks. Okay? One of the most important things in developing a biblical worldview is understanding how the world thinks. We all came out of the world, so we all have a little bit of idea how the world thinks. We went out with Laura's cousin. He's an attorney down in Fort Worth area. And as we're out at lunch, his wife, she begins to tell us how spiritual she is. Okay? And Laura's like kicking me under the... No. Just shut up. Don't say anything. Well, so, you know, and then she says this about her husband. Well, my husband's an agnostic. And right in the middle of him eating, I said, well, what kind of agnostic are you? And he kind of looked at me with this strange look. And like I said, he's a big attorney down there. He's used to asking the questions, not having the questions asked to him. So I said, well, are you the type of agnostic that says there is no evidence, therefore we can't know? Or are you an agnostic that says there might be evidence, but I could care less about it? Or are you the type of agnostic that says, if there is evidence, I want to know about it? And he changed the subject like that, and we moved on to something else. And Laura's still kicking me under the table like, hey, you know, don't cause problems down here. But his wife began telling me how she studied all these religions in college, and she's traveled all over the world, and we went to her house, and she had a beautiful house, and it had the Buddha statues, and it had a room full of crosses, and then it had all the stuff from Islam. I mean, it was unbelievable. Okay? And I'm looking at Laura, and the only thing I'm thinking is this poor girl is searching for something. but she doesn't know where to find it. Looking for love in all the wrong places, and we know where to find it. All right? So we want to know how our enemy thinks a little bit, and it doesn't mean that you have to go and study all the different arguments against Christianity, or, you know, it's a very simple thing. You know how the Scriptures, what the Scriptures have to say, you're going to see how we can apply it to all of life. All right, so last week we discussed what we need to possess if we're going to destroy an alien worldview. And those four things, we've got to be properly armed, properly trained, you know, willing to act, properly motivated, those type of four things. All right? So today we want to gain an understanding about how the world and Christians look at the world. We look at it differently, don't we? All you have to do, if you watch CNN, you're going to sit there and go, you know, I don't think like these guys do. These guys see things totally different than the way I see them. I was down in Grapevine. I was sharing with Betty. And I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I see all these Boy Scouts lined up. Hundreds of them. And all got the signs, you know, we oppose, you know, gays in the Boy Scouts. So I'm hitting the horn and honking and pulling over to the side. All of a sudden I get a text from Brian Wilkerson. He says, hey, are you in Grapevine? They have, you know, the vote on the Boy Scouts and homosexuality. I go, am I in Grapevine? I'm right in the middle of it right now. And he started laughing. So obviously the Boy Scout organization now looks at homosexuality totally different than what a great majority of the Boy Scouts now look at. And it's changed, and they're being pressured, all right? So we want to see how the world looks at it. We want to evaluate where our present worldview stands on a few vital issues. We can't cover everything, but we can look at a few, and that's what we're going to try to do today. And look at some common examples of alien thinking in our culture today. And I'm going to tell you what, all you got to do is pick up the newspaper. And what I say this, all of life is what? Religious. Everything. From sports to economics, and we'll get into that a little bit. So if you remember, remember that. All right, I got a little video I want to show you. It's called, it's a cookbook. I get it. Where's Thomas at? It's only about a minute and a half, these little videos. Point. How many of you remember this Twilight Zone? If you, whoa. Okay. Hello. The Twilight, what was happening was, is that these aliens landed on planet Earth, and they gave mankind this book that was supposed to have all these. Okay, according to the video here, they land, they give mankind this book, and it's supposed to be, have all these cures and everything else, and this guy, then they make this arrangement that some human beings are going to go back with them to their planet so that they could study more, and this one guy who is a scientist, he's all hyped up, and as he's getting on the spaceship, okay, is that sound on? All right. So, this lady comes through here. She's all upset because she deciphered the book. And what the book basically says, it's a cookbook. They were taking these guys back to their planet to cook them and eat them and on the spaceship. And so they didn't understand what the aliens were trying to do. But once they deciphered it, she was able to save herself. But unfortunately, this guy gets trapped and there was no hope for him. So it was just a cute little kind of mention of how the world's thinking, that we go along with it, and then what happens is that if we get caught up in the world's thinking, it's very easy to be sucked into it, and then we're trapped, and then we begin thinking like the world, okay? And that's what that little video was about. 1 John 4, 5 and 6 says this, they are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. So when you turn on CNN, when you turn on, you're going to get all these different views that come together. How many of you saw the young soldier that was killed over in England this week? They ran him over with a car, and these two young guys, what did they do? They took a machete, and they took a big, long butcher knife, and they took a butcher's cleaver and began to hack him up. Okay? And then they begin to shout that, you know, Allah Akbar. And once again, the press went into cover-up mode. Well, this is just, he's not really a Muslim. He's an extremist. He's this, he's that. And the truth of the matter was he was influenced by his religious worldview, the way he saw the world. Okay? So when I saw this on TV, once again, you know, you have one view that's trying to cover it up, another view that's being exposed blatantly right in people's faces. But do we want to deal with that and say, hey, this religion, this cultivates this type of behavior? Okay? So we see here, they're from the world, and they speak from the world point of view, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Listening to him and his views, you know, we walked into this museum, and they had a picture of Ted Nugent up on the wall. That tells you, you know, it's great art. And I like Ted Nugent. And I goes, hey, you got Ted Nugent in here. And the first thing goes, yeah, he's a far-right neoconservative, blah, 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 blah. Was he telling me something religiously? Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then there was another picture of a gun, a big gun. And he went off on that. You know, society shouldn't have one, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, it would have been nice if that guy that got shot the other day had a gun. Or that soldier over in England, if somebody around him had a gun, maybe they could have stopped these guys. So you see, there was this conflict, okay? In the scripture, Acts 17, verse 16 through 23, and we're not going to read it, but you can jot it down. We have the thinking of Athens versus Jerusalem, I call it. In other words, when Paul went into Athens, so maybe somebody look that up there while I'm speaking. Acts chapter 17, verse 16 through 23. We see the Apostle Paul in Athens. Athens at that time was the kind of the intellectual capital of the world. That's where all these great philosophers were born. And that's where all these ideas came forth. And so it's not a coincidence that Paul goes into this town, because now there's going to be a clash as to who's right and who's wrong and all these ideas. Who has that? Acts 17, verse 16 through 23. Okay, go ahead, Elma.
As well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of
Epicurean
and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and Brought him to a meeting of the
Areopagus,
where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you."
Okay, so he walks around in Athens, sees all these statues to different gods, and he sees one to unknown God, and he uses that as an opportunity. But he addressed them. He says, "I can see in every way that you're religious." Because they had a God for war. They had a God for love. They had a God for peace. They had all these different gods, but there was one. They didn't want to exclude any God or offend any God, so they had a little pole there and to the unknown God. And so he uses that, but you see that right away that he now is going to come in conflict with the way these Greeks think. And so the story goes on, you can read it for yourself, that some of the Greeks listened to him and they believed what he had to say, but it was a small minority, okay? Because they were so caught up in the way that they thought naturally. So really what it is that in Jerusalem just represents the thinking of the church. We're called the New Jerusalem, all right? We see a beautiful picture in the book of Revelation, the New Jerusalem. It just represents the thinking things the way God wants us to think. So how should a Christian think about everything? Well, we've said this over and over. Our thinking in every area is what? The Scripture. Okay? And every area means what? Every area. All right? Let's look at, how about history? Should we think about history from a biblical perspective? How do we do it? Well, when we read the Bible, we get a history narrative, don't we? It starts out with the creation. We see the progression of mankind spreading over the face of the earth. We see Noah and the flood, which destroys all living animals on the face of the earth, except those that were in there and those that were in the ocean. We see this timeline up to the time of Christ. History itself is divided into BC, in AD, no longer BC and AD. What is it? Cody, you know?
Before the common era.
Yeah, BCE and
yeah,
ACE. And so you ask, what's the common era? And the common era is that they removed Christ out of the equation. That's always the common era.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, history. Now, on the other hand, and we'll get into these as we proceed, from a worldly point of view, history, you know, the history of the world is what? Billions and billions of years old, as Carl Sagan would say. Okay? That there was no creative act by a God, but that it was a fortuitous combination of chemicals that came together. And over time and circumstances and natural selection, information was added and things changed and they went from being an amoeba to being us. No purpose, no rhyme, no reason. Could have happened anywhere and probably has happened on billions and billions of planets. We just haven't discovered them yet. We need to be like the guy in the little Twilight video. Okay, get in a spaceship and go somewhere. Because we're going to find life. And there, may I tell you what? They're looking, aren't they? So history. How about philosophy? I had a Christian one time tell me, he says, well, we shouldn't study philosophy. I said, why? He goes, oh, it's all evil. I go, no, only the philosophy of the world. When you have a philosophy based on the Scripture, you have a solid foundation. Didn't Jesus say if you're going to build a house? Build it on the what? Build on the rock. Build on the firm foundation. I was coming back on the plane. And we sat down. My wife was in the middle. And there was a young girl sitting against the window. And right off the bat, I said, hi, introduced myself. How are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And she pulled out a packet. Almost looked like the packet we have there. And I noticed on there something that said human sexuality. And she had like a red pen. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, I wonder if she's a student or a teacher or what have you. I go, well, what do you do? She says, well, I'm a grad student. And I have a... I'm studying philosophy of science. And Laura's like, shut up. Don't say anything. Because she's right between us. And I started in on her. I said, well, you have philosophy of science. I said, how, you know, I asked her how she got involved in that. And then I asked her, I said, what are the presuppositions that are necessary to do science? And my wife's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And all of a sudden, this lady, she looks, this young girl, she looks at me. She goes, what are you, some type of professor of philosophy or science? And I started laughing. I go, no, I'm just an average idiot that got on the plane. But after talking to her for a few minutes, she was just dumbfounded. And I said, well, you know, if you're going to do philosophy, you have to understand there's got to be a truth, right? You can't do. I said, if everybody can do philosophy and it always ends up in error, is there such thing as truth? And then she knew where I was leading from there. And then she told me she was a feminist, and things got better from that point on. Sociology. Okay? How do we organize society? We're being organized now, aren't we? We see all these laws passed by, even the Republicans, are they ordered it right? How did God order it when he brought his people out? What was the plan? How should mankind order himself so that we can live at peace with one another? Okay? So there's a way to do that. I had a young girl that was in here a few weeks ago, and she told me that she was studying sociology. And once again, I said, well, what are you studying? What is mankind? If you're going to put together an order for society, you better know what mankind is. Whose philosophy is right? The communist? How about the Muslims? How about the secular humanist? How about the Hindus? See, everybody's got an idea on how society should be formed. Who's right? Who's wrong? Psychology. You've heard me go on and on with that. I could use Montana there as an example of psychology. Okay? But that is another way. Bob was with me when we were at U of M, and we asked the young college students, didn't we, Bob? And they were all Christians.
Yes.
And what did they say?
They didn't know.
They had no idea.
They just looked at you like, what? Nobody has ever asked me what it is I'm studying.
Yeah. The pastor there didn't even know.
No.
And he goes, in 5 minutes, I learned more about what it means to be a Christian and use psychology. But you kind of scratch your head and you go, and I was kidding him. I said, so how much did you spend on your education to get your degree in psychology and you don't even know what the name of the course is all about? All right, mathematics, politics, law. As I mentioned, I was down in Grapevine and you had this controversy in the Boy Scouts. Should they allow homosexual boys in or should they not? Okay? There was a law that was going to be enacted. Somebody's morality was now going to be enacted into law. Those of you that are old enough, you remember the 60s, we went through it, and you, one of the things was, say, don't shove your religion down my throat. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. Somebody's religion is always going to get shoved down your throat. Always. The question is, whose religion is going to get shoved down the throat, and whose religion is compatible with reality? Okay? Morality. Whose morality wins the day? Is it going to be those that believe homosexuality is all right, or abortion is okay? Or is it going to be the Christians that believe that it is wrong? Yes, Sharon.
Even with the Boy Scouts, they said on the news when they were interviewing the people in charge of this that the boys, they're thinking of the boys, and the boys can be let in who are gay, but the instructors, the scout leaders, cannot be gay.
Yeah, it's a what they call incrementalism. You get one foot in the door, and eventually that whole camel, or they say get the nose of the camel in the tent, and eventually that tent has the whole camel inside of it. Okay? You know, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, the plan of the communists was to get a military base in Cuba. And so what they did is they put a military base there and they put missiles in it. Well, the U.S. objected to the missiles, but guess what Cuba caught? They kept the base, and that was their original goal. So they took two steps forward, one backwards. Were they still progressing in a direction? Yeah. Okay. And that's the way we see Islam, government, physics, marriage. Sammy? Okay. By the way, did your family enjoy the wedding and the reception and that? We didn't get... Good. I think everybody set a very good example and everybody had fun and made them feel welcome. And okay. Taxation. Hang on a second. Taxation. How much should you pay in taxes? Should you pay taxes? What would be the high end? What kind of tax system should be established? Once again, Charlie.
For matters of keeping the simple, I turned around, I made a comment to the school board, Dearborn there, and I also said that this had to do with the fact that we had started this particular class, Pastor Don.
Mm-hmm.
I said in no way, because there's always been debates on how sex education should be addressed in the schools and whatever. I says, why not have it to where, and this would be a walking permission slip type base, have parent and child in the element and have them stuck in the class together. That way they can, you know, help out on both ends of the equation. And I said this would be a better way. And I also had something else on the back burner to that, but... You know, I says, if you guys also taught a class on how guys and girls in the school should interact and how whatnot, it would be also a better thing as well. And this should fall right into this.
Unfortunately,
class
Charlie, you don't want any parent advice on how to raise your kids.
You're making sense, Charlie. I don't work sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, believe it or not, that's great advice. Parents should be in there, but they don't want the parents in there. Because the goal of the schools, believe it or not, is not to educate your kids. It's to indoctrinate your kids into a particular worldview. Years ago, we had the same thing in Melvindale. A teacher brought in a prostitute without permission from the school board, I'm not kidding you. And basically brought in all sorts of stuff and demonstrated this and demonstrated that. Yeah. That's exactly what it was, and nobody knew about it, and this teacher was reprimanded, but the teacher says, you know, listen, we can't teach these things because the parents might object, and we don't want any parents objecting to what we're teaching.
You don't have to want to know.
That's right. Exactly right. So child raising, how to raise your child, education, immigration, abortion, euthanasia, capital punishment, war, civil rights, social justice, economic, and this is just a small... Because everything in life is what? Religious. There's a religious foundation. So you can see this. I just threw those on there so that you would understand that all these things go back to the Scriptures. Okay? Economics. Is there a system of economics? How to handle your money that the Bible talks about? Yeah. You know, Dolores, when she came in, I remember she's telling me, I'm getting out of debt, I'm paying off all my bills, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, isn't that? The Bible has a lot of things to say about economics. Yes, Dolores.
And there's a book called God's Plan for Your Finances.
I just got out of the debt part. I didn't follow God's plan. God's plan automatically on this thing, 10%. 20% to your savings. 3% for your car. 25% for your house. And 25% for your house is your house, your light, your gas, everything. I'm over by $130. Like, everything. My budget is $600 for my house. I'm over $130 because I have an equity loan. And that saving 20%, as little as we make, I can still save $500 a month that I should have did from the beginning.
There you go. You know, that's somebody who came in and got herself out of debt. How she do it? Applying biblical principles. John Clinton teaches our financial peace seminar. Okay? So all these things go back to the Scripture. So how's the world think about everything? Well, you see a little cartoon there. You see the guy looking through a little lens, and you'll see on there it says man's theories. So he looks at the earth, okay, through a particular lens, different. All right? So we see that the way we look at the world is a good illustration. Christian over on the right side, they look at it one way through the Bible. The world looks at it a different way. And Islam looks at it another way. Okay? And the Hindus look at it another way, and the communists look at it through a different way. All right, we're going to take a test. Just grab a piece of paper. I'm just going to go down this. I know I've given this one. There's only 10 questions. Yes, you got to do a test. And those that fail will have to go through the class again and again and again and again. All right, the purpose of this, if you don't have a pen or a piece of paper, just follow along and we'll look at it here. We'll just move through it kind of quick. All right, a person should be allowed to conduct life as they choose, as long as it does not interfere with the lives of others. Is that true or false? Okay, why do you think so? Who'd like to answer that? Or give us an idea why. Right here.
One second. As Christians, we're on... Okay. As Christians, we're under the subjection of Christ.
Very good. That's the answer right there. As Christians, we are under the authority of Christ. He gives us our orders on how to live. Our thinking must be set aside. His thinking comes in. All right? And the way somebody lives their life, even though if it's private, will affect the rest of us. And all you got to do is look through the Scripture. You see, when somebody sinned, did it affect the group? Yeah. All right? The Bible is meant to be a guide or an example to a religious belief. It is personal and should never be imposed on others, especially children. Very good. But isn't that what we hear in the public school system, right? And they're even moving that now. They're trying to say that the Bible is an intolerant book, that it's prejudiced, that it should not be taught to kids because we live in a open society where all views, like in Athens, are accepted, and we cannot discriminate against certain people.
Raise your children up in the way of the Lord, and they will not depart from it.
Very good. Very good. All right. Individuals, not an authoritative rule over lives. It's false. Okay? Christ rules over our lives. He's the king. You know, in the early history of the United States, they had a cry, and it says, "No king but Jesus." Of course, you'll never read about that in the public schools, will you? Because the king that they were rebelling against was trampling on their rights. And they basically made an appeal to the king numerous times. King, you're trampling on our rights as citizens. They saw themselves as citizens of the British king. But when he trampled on their rights, they now said, "We have a grievance that we want to address, and because you will not address it and you continue to violate our rights, we now have the right to disassociate ourselves from you," because it was a contract, a covenant they were under. All right, the major obstacles to social progress are ignorance and faulty social institutions. You hear it every day. That's why they put so much money in education. Okay, no, the major obstacle to social progress and ignorance is sin and the neglect of God and God's Word. Society always regresses. Look at what's going on today. Why? Back in the 60s, took Bible study out. I mean, more and more the clamps have been tightened now. So that's false. Human life came into existence less than 10,000 years ago. Very good. Very good. I heard a lot of truths on that. That's right. But in the public schools, how long ago did it happen? All right. What's the basis for our belief? And once again, Scripture, all you do is add up the genealogies in the book of Genesis, and you get approximately, 7,000 years, 6,000, 7,000 years B.C. All right? Yep. Government should rest as directly as possible on the will of the people. How many times do you hear that in the news? The American people have spoken. The American people in this poll have said, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Law does not rest on what we think, because the majority of people can be wrong, can't they? Germany, for an example. How about an Islamic nation? Okay, so the will of the people, we saw what happened in Egypt, took out a dictator, they came in, they elected the Muslim Brotherhood, and now they're even worse off than they were before. Okay, the government should rest on God's Word. And if you study the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, you'll see all these principles, they were known. Even though all the founders were not Christians, they had a biblical worldview. They understood what man was. In democratic society, citizens have a right to an education, and this right must be protected and enforced by civil government. False. You do not have a right to an education. Nowhere in a Bill of Rights. Back in those days, you educated your kids. If you wanted a job, you got your own education. It was not the government's job. Why? And our founders knew this, because once the government set the philosophy of education, they would then raise up people that would see things from a particular point of view. Abraham Lincoln said the philosophy of the classroom will be the philosophy in one generation, will be the philosophy of politics in the next. That's why the founders did not, they wanted the kids to be educated, but they wanted to be done by the parents and by the churches and by religious organizations. Okay? Not by the government. In political dialogue, all persons should be allowed to express their opinions regardless of content with complete freedom. False. Somebody gets up and wants to advocate rebellion or the change of the law. Okay? As we see today, the people that are in power today were the radicals of the 60s. And now they had no problem breaking the law, did they? But now you break the law, and what do they want to do? They want to throw you in jail. All you got to do is look at the IRS. Okay? Progressive taxation is the fairest form of taxation, in that it relieves poor people from a heavy tax burden which they are unable to pay by taking a large tax percentage from the rich who are able to... No, that's false. The Bible showed a percentage, and it was always under 10%. Okay? Tithing of earned income should be a matter of personal choice, not a religious law. Very good. Very good. Okay? So you see there was only one true in there. You guys didn't do bad. But you see there was from a variety of kind of disciplines there. All right? I want to show just a couple. These are just a minute and a half. I got about three or four of them. Thomas, would you bring out? These are just some videos. Listen to the worldview being presented.
I'll say something about Jason Collins. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday.
Turn it up a little more.
He seems like a terrific young man. And, I told him I couldn't be prouder of him. One of the extraordinary measures of progress that we've seen in this country has been the recognition that the LGBT community deserves full equality, not just partial equality. Tolerance, but a recognition that they're fully a part of the American family. And given the importance of sports in our society, for an individual who's excelled at the highest levels in one of the major sports to
his
go ahead and say this is who I am.
Is not mine. I can guarantee
I'm proud
that.
Of it.
He was a bum.
I'm still a great competitor. I'm still 7 foot tall and can bang with Shaq and deliver a hard foul and
I hate to tell him Shaq don't even play anymore, but go ahead. This was just a couple months. This shows you how up to date he is.
Young people out there who are gay or lesbian who are struggling with these
all right,
issues
to go
see
to the
a
next
role
video.
Model like that.
Once again, let me ask you this. Is he promoting a worldview? Is he pushing his religious view on people?
Yes.
You better believe it. All right, go to the next one. This is about Planned Parenthood. This is his, he was first sitting president to give a speech at Planned Parenthood convention.
So the fact is, after decades of progress, there's still those who want to turn back the clock.
Us.
To policies more suited to the 1950s than the 21st century.
No, more suited to biblical.
And they've been
thinking.
Involved in an orchestrated and historic effort to roll back basic rights when it comes to women's health. 42
how
states.
How about advance the baby's rights?
Have introduced laws that would
see
ban
the,
or
the,
severely
the words
limit access to a woman's
are
right
coded.
To choose.
Wait a minute, you'll hear it.
As long as we've got a fight to make sure women have access to quality, affordable health care, and as long as we've got to fight to protect a woman's right to make her own choices about her own health, I want you to know that you've also got a president who's going to be right there with you, fighting every step of the way. Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you.
God bless
God
you,
bless
Planned
America.
Parenthood. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Is he throwing down the gauntlet? And should we retreat, or should we be like John the Baptist says, hey, we ain't going to accept this? Now you know why elections are so important. Go ahead, next video. We're not going
to
watch this
now,
whole
last
one.
Night on this program, we showed
I want you to watch the face of
the
woman.
Of an abortion doctor in Washington, D.C., telling a potential patient that it would not help her baby if it survived the abortion. Now, tonight, there are more stunning videos from a New York counselor explaining the details of what happens behind the scenes at these abortion clinics. You need to watch this closely. Watch this.
So how are they, how do they, like, remove it then?
It's done by suction. It's a sucking tube that they just hold and it sucks it in. And then they put it in a solution, and they send it out to the lab.
Talking about the baby,
so they can
measure
everything to make sure that everything came out of you. If it did come out in one piece, it's very small.
Okay.
So they would still have to put it in a jar container with solution and send it to the lab.
Kind of like the Nazis, the final solution.
Oh, okay,
solution.
So they would just be able
yeah,
to just
put it in
the
all our specimen have to
very
go
generic
to
terms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no matter what.
To just... That's just how you get rid of it? Like, that's just how you get rid of it, whatever?
Garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what if it was, like, twitching or, like, something like that? Like...
Very good.
The solution will make it stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not going to be moving around in the jar.
No,
okay,
it'll be
the
dead.
The solution would make it, like...
Yeah. That's the whole
thing.
It's
not going to be moving around
solution.
In the furnace because they'll
okay.
be dead.
So, like, if it looked like it was, like... Like breathing or something like that.
It'll automatically stop. It won't be able to.
It won't be it. Okay.
And here with reaction from the group who shot the undercover video,
watch
live
the girl
action
on
President
the left
Lila Rose and Fox News contributor Tamara Holder.
As opposed to the one on the right.
At how this got set up, because, I mean, what she's basically saying there is, if the baby's alive, don't worry, we'll put it in a solution and kill the baby, which is murder by any definition, is it not? Because this is a late-term abortion.
You're exactly right, Sean. I mean, what's being described here in this Bronx late-term abortion clinic, Dr. Emily's in New York City, is basically infanticide. But, you know, she's describing how, you know, our investigator, who's actually 23 and a half weeks pregnant, is inquiring, you know, what happens if, you know, the baby comes out alive? Because in these late-term abortion procedures, many people don't know this, but they're inducing labor over a period of 2 to 3 days. And they need to get that baby out of the woman ultimately, but they want to kill the baby first. You know, that's part of the procedure. So they're going to be either ripping that baby up in utero, they're going to be injecting poison into the baby's heart, but sometimes the babies come out alive. And in this clinic, what the counselor is graphically describing is how this little baby, if it's moving or breathing when it's born alive, would be placed in a jar of toxin, right. So it's then drowning to death.
So, Tamara, is that or is that not, if this baby is born alive, does that not have constitutional protections to live?
Look, I didn't create this law. It just so happens that Lila went in at 23 and a half weeks to talk to this person, or technically she was 23 and a half weeks pregnant. When the law says at 24 weeks, at that point, then it's not a legal abortion.
Okay, I'm not asking you that. What this doctor is describing, though, is that infanticide.
No, it's not. It is not infanticide. No, because legally
it
is not.
Wait a minute. What they said is the whole purpose of the solution.
You can stop and go to the last video there real quick in only a minute. But you see, once again, how, hey, it's not a baby. You see, the law says 25 weeks or 24 weeks or whatever it is. Hey, I want to tell you, from the moment of conception, it's human being. Okay? All right. Go ahead real quick. This was an announcer for ESPN who is a Christian. And he came out, listen to what he says, and he comes under all sorts of attack. Go ahead.
I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all
I love
sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is. And LZ knows that. He and I have played on basketball teams together for several years. We've gone out, had lunch together. We've had good conversations, good laughs together. He knows where I stand, and I know where he stands. I don't, you know, criticize him. He doesn't criticize me and call me a bigot, call me ignorant, call me intolerant. And that I hear, and talking to some people around the league, there are a lot of Christians in the NBA, and they don't want to be, just because they disagree with that lifestyle, they don't want to be viewed and called bigoted and intolerant and things like that. And that's what LZ was getting at. Just like I may tolerate someone whose lifestyle I disagree with, he can tolerate me, my beliefs, and he disagrees with my beliefs and my lifestyle, but true tolerance and acceptance is being able to handle that as mature adults and not criticize each other and call each other names. Personally, I don't believe that you can live an openly homosexual lifestyle or an openly premarital sex between heterosexuals. If you're openly living that type of lifestyle, then the Bible says you know them by their fruits. It says that, you know, that's a sin. And if you're openly living in unrepentant sin, whatever it may be, not just homosexuality, adultery, fornication, premarital sex between heterosexuals, whatever it may be, I believe that's walking in open rebellion
to
God and to Jesus Christ. So I would.
Yeah, John, will you hit the lights there? All right, so this guy, he makes a stand. Do you think he came under attack? First thing, the gay, lesbian, you know, whatever they call themselves, they demanded him to be fired. They racked it up. You better not speak out against it. So do they even, though they verbally say they're for freedom of speech, but when you speak freely and it's not with the plan, you're going to come under attack. Now, was that sports? I said, your worldview is going to translate into every realm of life. So when we come back next week, we're going to begin breaking down each one of these areas. So we'll look a little bit. We can't cover them all, but we'll look at the major ones like philosophy or history, and we'll go into a little bit more and see what the Bible says and how the world looks at it. Okay? All right.
How can they support it?
Yeah. Because there's a whole agenda behind that. They don't care.
Isn't it all about the money?
No. There's a philosophy that they believe society should be a certain way, and that is what they're trying to enact. They're trying to bring in a society totally different. So that is why they support it. These people are not trying to uphold the rule of law from the Constitution or biblical law. They are changing the law to make society conform to the way they think society should be. And so that's why they could be married but still support all these things, because the long-term goal is a changed society, to get it away from the Christian roots and turn it into a secular Islamic or whatever the goal is. And for him, there's no doubt in my mind that he's a Muslim and that he's a secularist in communist, basically, is just destroying everything. Everything they stand for is anti-biblical to the core. And one last question and we're going to close. Mm-hmm. See, your mother's not very bright, okay? We know better, and that's why we can't leave education to your parents and homeschoolers, because, see, they get this warped view of what life is all about. Am I right, Cheryl? Yeah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, and Father, as we go down, we pray, Lord, that we would continue to have our eyes open, and Lord, may we speak up, may we be lights in the midst of darkness, salt, Lord, in the world, preserving it. So, Father, we pray for the service now as we go forth. Let your blessing, your anointing be upon everything we do. And we worship our Father, Jesus Christ, and we thank you. Everyone said, Amen.